You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Polycystic ovary syndrome is a really common form of female infertility. So it's the most prevalent form of female infertility that's associated with a lack of ovulation. It's also characterized by hyperandrogenism, which is high circulating levels of typically testosterone, which is thought of as a typical male hormone. And it's also associated with a polycystic appearance of the ovaries, which is due to the follicles in the ovaries containing lots of fluid that is a result of the failure of ovulation that's happening there.
How many women approximately does this affect in New Zealand?
Yep. So the statistics are somewhat varied throughout the world. They range from 6 to 24% of women of reproductive age. And the current estimates in New Zealand are approximately 1 in 10 women of reproductive age are likely to suffer from PCOS.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it's a huge number of women.
And would you say that there's sufficient support or level of awareness for women out there who do discover that they have it?
I don't think so. I mean, the feeling that I get is that this is a very under-recognized, under-researched area of female health. It's not a very glamorous disorder. People don't often talk about it. So I think there is very little support for women with PCOS. Many of the treatments that are available are off-label drugs, and they're symptom-focused as opposed to treating the syndrome as a whole. And that simply comes from a lack of really understanding what encompasses PCOS, the heterogeneity of the disorder. It can be represented in a variety of different forms. But the more that we understand about PCOS, the better we're going to be able to ultimately kind of target PCOS and provide more hope and support for women that are suffering with it.
It sounds like it's something that people suffer with in silence at the moment. How long has your research team been working on it for? And do you hope that one consequence of you guys doing this work is that you do shine a light on it?
Absolutely. So this is something I've been interested in for a long time, but really only focused on in our neuroendocrine laboratory for about the last 8 or 9 years. But part of our work is aimed not only at trying to understand what causes PCOS and how we can better treat it, but also aimed at providing more information and just a little bit of hope out there for women that are suffering from PCOS. So as part of this research grant that we've been funded for, we hope to get some good science communication out there to people in the medical profession, and also women that are battling with PCOS, just so they have an idea about what research is being done and have a sense of hope that people are at the coalface trying to figure out what's going on.
Sure. And through your research, some of the biggest finds that you guys have made is you discovered how major the role that the brain plays in the syndrome is. Could you please expand on this?
Sure. So I think something that a lot of people don't really think about is that everything that's happening in the ovary is driven by hormones that are coming from a whole network of neurons in the brain. And so we're trying to better understand how this network of neurons regulates the function of the ovary in a healthy situation, and then look at how this network is operating in polycystic ovary syndrome. And so this is a lot of the work that we're doing in our preclinical animal models. But what it's showing us is that this network is wired very differently in a PCOS-like state, and we're able to identify what specific neurons in the brain are involved and how they're behaving differently to ultimately drive what's happening peripherally and at the level of the ovary. So we're really interested in understanding the role that the brain plays and how things like androgen excess, these high circulating levels of things like testosterone, are impacting those different brain circuits to both potentially cause PCOS and ultimately, drive the pathology of PCOS.
As you said, your team was just granted with the $5 million boost. So what work exactly will you be doing with it? What happens next?
Yeah, so it's it's a large team, so it's really a team science approach. So it's my research group, along with the research group of Associate Professor Christine Giussone and Professor Greg Anderson, that are both here at Otago, and also a group that's led by Professor Inger Sundström-Parama at the University of Uppsala in Sweden. And the four of us together are tackling questions about where androgens are acting in the female brain and some of the mechanisms that are involved in the development of PCOS and the manifestation of the disorder, and with a particular focus on what's happening in the brain. And then the final part of the project is to understand whether by blocking androgen signaling, we can restore normal fertility. And we're looking at specific windows in development and adulthood that might be important in blocking androgen actions to be able to restore PCOS women back to reproductive health.
In terms of, I've seen a lot of speculation that we are reaching a fertility crisis in terms of the global population. Is this true? And does the syndrome play a big part in that?
Infertility is pronounced globally for a variety of reasons. I think partly it's because women are trying to conceive much later in life after they've established their careers, and they're falling really outside of their prime fertile window. But PCOS is certainly contributing to the infertility issues that seem to be plaguing large numbers of women these days. And there are probably a variety of factors that are involved. One thing that we know can exacerbate PCOS and infertility in PCOS is a metabolic syndrome that can be characterized by obesity and insulin resistance. And as you know, we are a population that are generally heavier and have a much higher proportion of obesity and insulin resistance. So this is going to be contributing to reproductive deficits as well.
What does the work that you're doing mean for fertility in New Zealand?
So ultimately, we're hoping that we create new knowledge about androgen excess in developing PCOS and how this plays out for infertility in women, and how we can actually target that androgen excess to identify better ways to prevent, treat, and ultimately cure PCOS and reverse things like infertility for women that are suffering from it. And I think ultimately we hope that we can change the biomedical and the clinical focus of PCOS toward treatment that might include things like the brain, and just an understanding that the brain is a really important organ for thinking about regulation of female fertility.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.